We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we continue the discussion of occultism, the false religion of astrology. In America, it is generally estimated that there are some 40 million people who are devotees of astrology. Some time back, it was estimated that there are supposed to be in our country alone some 10,000 professional astrologers and another 175,000 part-time astrologers. For a fee, they will counsel, confide, and conjure up a person's fortune. In the early 70s, it was estimated that astrology had become a $200 million business each year. My friends, there is a great difference between astronomy and astrology. Webster defines astronomy as a science which treats the celestial bodies, their magnitudes, motions, constitution, etc. But he defines astrology as pseudo-science, and he defines pseudo as a sham, feigned, spurious. He also classifies the religious aspect of it as a divination. There's a great difference between science, which is a body of classified knowledge, and pseudoscience, which is basically a false science, a science that is not factual. Webster also distinguishes between the two objectives of these areas of thought. Those in astrology study stars in an effort to decide how various positions influence people and has a foundation from which they project predictions as to what will happen on a certain day to a certain person born under a certain sign. The study of astronomy has a totally different objective in mind as its incentive for studying the solar system. Surely, we are not against the study of stars or the heavenly bodies, but I'm here to expose the false worship or religion based upon stars and positions of heavenly bodies. Such is a worship directed to a part of the creation and not to the Creator, Almighty God. Sooner or later, people who are engaged in the advocacy of astrology imagine themselves as modern religious prophets or prophetesses going around and predicting all things relative to Christ, even His second coming. Gene Dixon did this in Hot Springs, Arkansas. The commercial appeal of Memphis, Tennessee of May 24, 1971 carried this Associated Press release about the predictions that she made, and I quote, "Gene Dixon, author and self-acclaimed psychic, predicted the second coming of Jesus in this century at a body, mind, and spirit workshop sponsored by the ESP Foundation of Little Rock. Miss Dixon also predicted Sunday that a cure for cancer will be discovered during this century and the earth will collide with the sun in another 5,000 years. She said the assassination of John F. Kennedy was destiny, but she said his brother, Robert Kennedy, who was also assassinated, would have become president if he had waited to seek the office. She said she achieved or advised government officials, but they don't always listen to me. She spoke to about 500 persons on using extrasensory perception, ESP, to communicate with God," end of quotation from the commercial appeal of Memphis, Tennessee. Apparently, this modern prophetess is not too much concerned about avoiding hopeless and helpless contradictions in her many pronouncements for the future. My friends, are you listening? You can be sure that the Lord was not guiding her in these pronouncements, for He would not have committed such glaring error. She says that the second coming of Christ will come in this century. That means sometime between now and December 31st, 1999. Yet, she says that the earth will collide with the sun in another 5,000 years. Imagine that. The earth and the sun will collide some 5,000 years after they cease to exist. If she is right about the Lord's second coming, she is dead wrong about the earth colliding with the sun in 5,000 years. If she is right concerning the collision of the earth and the sun about 6,971 A.D., she is wrong about the Lord's return before 2000 A.D. She cannot be right about both of these prophecies. In fact, she cannot be right without being wrong, and wrong without being right. What a position for modern prophetess to be in. False prophets, ladies and gentlemen. The Apostle Peter tells us that the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Peter, by inspiration, declared that this earth is destined for fiery destruction at the second coming of Christ. The heavens will also pass, which includes the sun. After the second coming, the righteous will be taken to heaven and the wicked will be sent to hell, according to Matthew 25:34-46. This old earth and sun will not survive the second coming of our Lord. Peter said that they will be destroyed at His coming, and that is specifically at His second coming. Therefore, no collision of the sun and earth can occur around 7,000 A.D. if the Lord comes back before 2,000 A.D. Yet this modern prophetess has Christ coming set for this century and the earth remaining intact for its predicted collision with the sun shortly before 7,000 A.D. She cannot be right in these predictions. The false religion of astrology, my friends. In this 1971 announcement about the Lord's second coming, the horoscope prophetess involves herself in another series of helpless and hopeless contradictions. If Jesus comes back before this century ends, there will be no earth and people there to fulfill some of her earlier predictions as to what the 21st century is going to reveal. In her book, My Life and Prophecies, this false prophetess predicts on page 140 that, and I quote, "sudden destruction and war will occur in 1999, end quotation. My friends, those who begin this war will have to fight rapidly, else the end of the world will catch them before the war ends. On pages 140 and 141, the horoscope specialist says that in 2030, there will arise in our nation a man who has gained the reputation as a peacemaker, but will become the warlord of modern times. She predicts that he will have great military power at his disposal, and will use it to combat the Red Chinese menace, which is fighting in Russia and the Scandinavian countries. On page 157, she says peace negotiations will be carried out during the first quarter of the 21st century. But, my friends, if the predictions about Christ's coming is fulfilled, which she made, there will not be anybody on earth to be negotiating with. In fact, there will be no earth then about which to negotiate. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? People in heaven would have no need for negotiations, and the tormented in hell could care less about the negotiations relative to a non-existent earth. Their own weeping and wailing about their lost condition eternally will consume all of their time, you can be sure. My friends, look at these self-contradictions. Look at all the events she has predicted for the 21st century. If all these things happen in the years between 2000 and 2037 A.D., then Jesus cannot come before 2000 A.D. Yet, the false prophetess has assured us that Jesus will come before this period. If Jesus does come prior to 2000 A.D., then all these events which she has planned and predicted for the 3rd century and the 21st century can never occur. Surely, the God of heaven would not be telling her to predict things about the 21st century if He does not intend for there to be a 21st century. Time will end and the second coming of Christ is sure. If He comes in this current century, then there will be no more 21st century. My friends, has not her ESP slipped a few notches? Because she is not Jehovah's prophetess, she has immersed herself helplessly in the sea of hopeless contradictions. I state emphatically, beloved, that God Almighty has neither part nor parcel in such prophetic deceit and contradictions. The false religion of astrology, my friends. Ladies and gentlemen, man should worship God the Creator and not his creation. In Romans 1:25, the Apostle has enumerated the sins of the Gentiles that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. It is just as wrong to worship an inanimate object in the heavens as it is to worship a living object, animal or man, on earth. Listen carefully to what Stephen told his Jewish audience, recorded in Acts 7:42-43. Are you listening? But God turned and gave them up to serve the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, Did ye offer unto me slain beasts and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? And ye took up the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of the god of Rephan, the figures which ye made to worship them. I will carry you away beyond Babylon. The ancient Jews did the very same thing that modern man is doing under the so-called innocent guise of astrology, that is, worshiping the host of heaven, looking to the stars for human guidance, instead of looking to the maker of the stars and the revelation of his will as given to us in the Bible. Such was sinful for ancient Jews, and it is still wrong today. If not, why not? The astrological devotee does not have to concern himself with the Bible, because his Bible is the daily forecast of what the stars suggest to be his daily guidelines. The devotee does not need concern himself with sin or a deeply perverted heart. In fact, he can feel good about his sins, for after all, the stars, not the desperately wicked heart, is responsible for his wrongdoings. In fact, who is to say that there is any wrong or sin anyway, if all we have to determine human action is simply the study of the stars? After all, is not the devotee of astrology simply at the complete mercy of the stars? His mistakes, or what others call mistakes, can be attributed to the stars instead of his own sins. In astrology, that is the false religion of astrology, there is no effort made to change a person's heart, life, or relationship with God, as we find set forth in Christianity. Astrology ignores the basic fundamentals of the Christian religion. It turns people away from the Bible. It gives people confidence in everyday's guidelines that are to be fixed positions with the stars. Astrology is a very convenient religion. It satisfies man's religious yearnings to some extent at calls for no real dedication or consecration on his part. Had God intended for man to find his religion in the stars, he would never have given us the Bible as our only religious guide and its binding authority upon mankind. The more a person trusts in astrology, the less regard and reverence he will have for the Bible. There are some things one will not find in astrology. One will not find the church of our Lord by studying the stars. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to discover God through a telescope or even a microscope. The revelation of the Lord is given to us in His Word, and the revelation of the Lord's church is found in the Bible, not a daily or weekly astronomical forecast. If God were revealing His will through horoscopes, His will would never be complete, and no one would ever have access to all truth until the final horoscope had been penned. My friends, are you listening? There is no blood atonement in the religion of the stars. One could study the stars for a lifetime and never learn the first syllable about Calvary, how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The stars do not tell the story of redeeming love, of the sacrifice that was made, and of the love that was exhibited by our Lord and by God the Father. My friends, only the Bible does this. One cannot learn how to become a Christian by studying the stars. Have you ever seen a horoscope that answered the question, What must I do to be saved? One cannot learn how to live a Christian life by the study of the stars. Astrology does not teach us how to prepare to meet the Lord at His second coming. No one will get ready to go to heaven and avoid hell by looking at the stars and exploring their position. I would like to quote a faithful man of God, Roy Deaver, as he listed some 6 indictments against the person who turns either to witchcraft or astrology. He says, and I quote, 1. He violates the sacred principles of Deuteronomy 29:29, the fact that the secret things belong to God. 2. He is seeking to obtain spiritual information from sources other than God and the Bible. 3. He thus attempts to guide his life by some means other than the Word of God. 4. He thus involves himself in the realm of superstitions. 5. He thus gives credence to the idea that the Word of God is not a sufficient guide. And 6. He becomes an idolater. He involves himself in a false religion. It must be clear, therefore, that Paul's emphatic condemnation of witchcraft applies with equal force to astrology and to those who follow it. Astrology is wrong because it calls for the worship of the stars instead of ascribed worship to Almighty God who made the stars and upholds him by the word of his power. The sacred scribe of Hebrews 1:3 states, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Astrology calls for a study of the stars instead of a lifetime of meditation of that very book written by the maker of the stars. Avoid astrology. It's a false religion, ladies and gentlemen. It is an ancient form of idolatry, dressed up in modern garb of so-called science, pseudoscience. It is neither scriptural nor scientific to believe in or practice astrology. It would be far, far better for everyone to spend a portion of the day in the study and meditation of the Bible rather than pursuing the daily horoscope. Our world would be much better off spiritually if every astrological book currently in existence were to share with immediate dispatch what happened to some ungodly books of Bible times at Ephesus when Paul was there. The Bible tells us in Acts 19:19-20, and I quote, and not a few of them that practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed. Toward this idolatrous system, we should do as John instructs in 1 John 5:21. Listen carefully. My little children, guard yourselves from idols. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot guard yourself against this idolatrous evil by acceptance and the diligent practice of it. Beware